is a pleasure to be back here. It's been a long time since I got to come to Cajon and preach, and I do appreciate it. I think probably Ellen was still here the last time I got to come and preach for you guys. I did grow up in Cajon. Actually was licensed from this church back in 1990 to the ministry, and we left here and went to seminary. Did a first degree there and then took off. Thought we'd conquered the world and headed out and found out we didn't have enough education, so we went back to seminary. I was a glutton. And then finally I went back the third time and got a master's degree. And the reason why is because I'd always felt called to be a chaplain. And so we went from there into hospital chaplaincy, which I served as a hospital chaplain for about 15 years. My last place to serve was here in Big Spring. I was the chaplain out at the Big Spring State Hospital for a little over 2.5 years. It's kind of ironic. I was working at the state hospital when I was called into ministry and left, and 12 years, 13 years later, God put me right back at that same place to let me in. So I thought that was pretty neat how God works things out. You never know what he's going to do. There's a story in one of Max Lucado's new book called Unshakable Hope, and it's a great illustration for one of the promises that we're going to look at in the Bible today. That promise is found over in Hebrews chapter 4, starting with verses 14 through 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. But before we read our scripture, I'd like to offer a word of prayer. Most precious God, it's just a privilege to be able to stand before your people, to stand here in this pulpit and be able to open the Word of God and to read it and to share with it. And Father, I pray that now that the Holy Spirit that's within all believers will just open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears to hear what you have to say from these passages of Scripture. Lord, please be merciful to this sinner. His sins are many. Be gracious to us all. We do thank you, Lord, for all that you do, and it's in your powerful, wonderful name I lift this prayer. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, starting with verse 14, the Bible says this: Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in the time of our need. You see, that promise is in verse 15. That promise tells us this. It says, For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. So it's telling us that we have a high priest who understands us, one who's done the same things and lived the same place we've lived, walked the same paths we walk, who understands when we face those temptations. He understands our weaknesses. He understands us when we're tempted. He understands us because he went through the same things. Yet what sets him apart is he did not sin. Unfortunately, we have a tendency to fall short of that sometimes. Well, the story that Max in Max's book goes like this. A few years ago, there was two college women's softball teams that were playing. They were playing for the national championship. Next game, or the semifinals, they were playing to get into the national championship. And it had come down. The game had been back and forth all day long, and hard-fought battle between these two girls' teams. Well, it came right down to it all of a sudden that one of the players, she found herself in a very unfamiliar situation. See, Sarah was not a starter for her team. She actually was batting 153 for the year and had only played in two games that whole season. The reason she found herself in the game was because the starting right fielder had muffed an easy fly ball. The coach had gotten mad and benched her. So now Sarah's in the game. It's the ninth inning. It's two outs, two players on base. It's her time to bat. So she goes up to that batting box. She stands in. The first pitch was a swing and a miss. Oh, man, she's nervous. She's batting that bat. She's just hoping that something good comes along. Well, that next pitch that come along was a curveball that just so happened to hang up perfectly. She made contact with that ball, and it sailed so beautifully right out over the right field. Home run. Well, she started around the bases, and just as she went around first base, she forgot that she didn't tag the bag. Her coach hollered back, come back, Sarah, tag the bag. Well, as she turned around to go back to the bag, her knee made that horrible popping sound, and she went right smack down to the ground and couldn't put any weight on it. She looked at the umpire and said, what do I do? Because the rules state that nobody could run for her on her team because it was where she was at in the situation with the home run. She had to be the only person that could run those bases. Otherwise, that home run was null and void, and she was out. And her team lost the game. So she's looking at those umpires, asking them, what should we do? And the umpires, they all gather up around first base and go into their huddle and start talking. Well, I think everybody in here could probably relate to what went on with Sarah. Probably every one of us in here has stumbled at some point in our lives. We all make mistakes. I know I've made my own fair share of them. None of us can say that we've always been completely moral, that we've always been fully honest, or we haven't had a momentary lapse of integrity. It happens to all of us. We're sinners saved by grace. We all have that opportunity to fall, a lapse. We do. It's just who we are as humans. We make mistakes. And we have, as we make mistakes and stumble in our walk with God, that promise that we read earlier is that we've got somebody who's helping us. Somebody who'll pick us up and carry us and help us to run the bases. Somebody that's going to help us to be able to get the help that we need to accomplish what's before us. That's what that promise in Hebrews 4:15 says. It gives us hope when we make mistakes and stumble. In the New Century Version, it says it like this: for our high priest is able to understand our weaknesses. Our high priest is able to understand our weaknesses. So when we make those mistakes, when we do stumble, we have Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, understanding what we did wrong. He grasps it. He gets it. He is one who we can always go to, and he understands everything that we say. So the words that we read earlier, it said this: so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need. I don't know about you, but I need grace. I need mercy. I need a lot of it sometimes. You know how it is when you get into town and you're driving around and somebody cuts you off or some idiot about runs over you at the stop sign. You know, our human tendency is to point the way to heaven and let them know how to get there. And we do that. We make mistakes. We all do. We all stumble. We fall down. And when those things come along, we have to understand something. We've got a high priest who understands. And, you know, no other religion can say that. No other belief system can say that. When we fall, our God is there. And by his grace and his mercy, he picks us up and he puts us back on the path to our journey. He dusts us off. He cleanses us. And he understands. Oh, well. You know, we shouldn't take advantage of that. Don't hear me wrong. Don't get me wrong. You know, when we do fall, we need to understand that Jesus understands that. If we took a look at his characteristics, we'll see how he can relate to us. It's like this. Jesus was born to a human woman. He understands physical pain. He endured it just like we did. He enjoys a good party. He had a lot of parties he went to. He was rejected by his friends and deserted him right in the middle of a time of need. He was unfairly accused of something that he did not do. He was actually turned off by religion in that day and time. He did not like what had happened to his belief system and what God had given the people of that day. He felt sorrow. He felt compassion for those that were lonely and needy. He was misunderstood by his family. They even said one time they tried to go get him because they thought he was crazy. You know, we all have dysfunctional families. He did too. He understood his family. He was kept awake at night by life's problems. He spent many a night on knee before God in prayer because of everything that was going on and the struggles he faced. And he was even afraid of death, just like we are. It's the uncertainty. Same thing for him. He sweat those great drops of blood at the Garden of Gethsemane. Why? It was a sense of the unknown. Nobody knows what death's bringing, not really. And so there's a sense of fear in us as humans. So to me, it sounds like Jesus had a lot in common with us. He understands us. He gets us. He's faced times of difficulty. He understands sorrow. And he understands those temptations of this world that we all face. I'm going to read the scripture again, our Hebrews passage, but I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. I like to read two or three different translations when I'm doing my own studies, and this one really spoke to me. It says this: "This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. He had faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive his mercy. We will find his grace to help us when we need it the most." You see, that's who Jesus is. He's our great high priest. He got you. He understands you. You're not alone. When you make mistakes, he's there to help you. He's there to forgive you and to let grace prevail. His mercy is so bountiful. You know, great is thy faithfulness. It's new every morning. That's what we need to understand and hear. So Jesus understands our problems. Well, I've had somebody ask me one time, "Well, preacher, how can that be? You know, he was Jesus and I'm a human." Well, it's a word from theology that we call the incarnation. He was incarnate. He became fully human. He took on that human body. He felt the same things that we feel. He had the same desires, the same needs. He became who we are in the flesh and the blood of humanity. And he walked on this earth. He had the same aches and pains that we all have. He had the same issues he dealt with we do. Everything. Jesus understands it. And this is what John says, John chapter 1, verse 14. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, Jesus became who we are. The Word became flesh. He took on who we were, just like we are. He was born of a virgin woman by a miraculous conception. And because he was born, we get his deity. We get who God is. But we also get the humanity. We get Jesus. You know, we get both of them. We get to understand who both of them are. And because he was born, he grew and developed into a fully grown man. And because of that, he understands us. He gets us and the problems that we face. You know, that I don't know about you, but that gives me hope to know that when I stumble and I make problems, have problems, Jesus understands. He understands exactly what I'm facing. He faced the same problems. He faces the same temptations of this world that we all face. Yet, what set him apart? When he faced those temptations, he didn't give in. He didn't let the flesh take over like we often do. He stood firm and faced the pressures. He remained faithful, which gives him now the right to sit at the right hand of the Father as our great high priest. For our high priest is able to understand our weaknesses. Hey, that's amen, amen. He does understand us. You see, he was fully human as well as fully God. And that, my friends, is why we come boldly before the throne of grace. He gets us. He understands us. We have somebody who is there that hears us when we pray. And when we pray and ask for his help, he hears us, he understands us, he knows the struggles that we face. I've had people say, well, if Jesus didn't sin, how can he understand when I'm facing temptations? He faced that same temptation. He just didn't give in to it. He felt the full force of sins. He felt the full force of all of the sins of the entire world on that day on the cross when all of the sins were placed upon him to provide for you and me that grace and mercy. He took to that cross our sins. He paid the penalty. We're washed in his blood. He paid it all. There's a song here that says Jesus paid it all. He paid everything. Amen. He did it for you. And because he did it for you, he understands now when we fail, we stumble. When we let the humanity take over what we know we shouldn't do, Jesus understands us. He helps us. He picks us up. So when we surrender to the pull of the flesh, we have to understand he never did. But he did understand. He understands sin, and he understands the consequences of sin. 2 Corinthians verse 5, chapter 5, verse 21 gives us the answer. It says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What a great God. What a wonderful Savior. Well, let's go back to our story. I probably thought I forgot all about Sarah and left her hanging at first base. But I'm not. We're going to finish that story. You see, what happened with that problem Sarah had of her hurt knee was the simple fact that the opposing team's first baseman, a girl by the name of Marley, who was right there in the middle of all this questioning and all these answers, looked to the umpires and said, what if I help her around the bases? Is there any rules against that? Well, the umpires didn't know the answer, but no, they couldn't find anything. There was nothing that said an opposing team couldn't help that person who needed to be helped around the bases to run the bases. Well, now you got to understand something. For Marley, that meant she lost the game. Her season was over. But Marley went out and recruited the shortstop of that team to come help her. They got Sarah up on her feet. They carried her around the bases, letting her touch every base until they carried her all the way to home. And her team won the game. Why? It did it because Marley helped her. She carried her. They showed mercy. They showed us what mercy could look like. They put aside their own needs and their own wants and their own desires to be the champion and give to that person grace and mercy. They helped Sarah to accomplish what she set out to do. They helped her to run those bases. And that's exactly what Jesus has promised to do for us. He's promised he'll pick us up. He'll carry us. He'll take us home. He'll help us to get around the bases. Jesus, your great high priest, is right there to carry you when you need help. He's right there to hear you when you lay your petitions before him. So come boldly to the throne of grace of our gracious God. Because when you come boldly to that throne of God, you receive his mercy. You find his grace. And you get the help that you need when you need it the most. That's what makes it so important that we take those concerns to the Lord Jesus. He understands us. And when we come to learn that he's there to help us, and we let him help us, when we surrender our will to his will, there's not anything that he can't do. He is the all-powerful, all-knowing God. And he can help you and carry you through times of need as well as times of goodness. Remember, he enjoys a good party too. Jesus is there with us no matter what we do. And you know what? He gave us a gift that we don't take full advantage of. He gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit we live in power. We can overcome the temptations by the Holy Spirit who Jesus gave us as our comforter, our guide, our counselor, our helper. We can live the way Jesus desires for us to live. But we have to learn and understand to give that control to the Holy Spirit. You know, we've got God the Father in heaven, and we've got Christ sitting at his throne, making intercessions for us. But we've also got God right here in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will help us and guide us and walk with us if we learn to allow him. Talk to him. You know, ask him. When you face a difficult time, say, Holy Spirit, help. And he will. He's there to hear us. He's there to empower us and strengthen us, to encourage us, to give us hope. We have to just surrender. My friends, the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift that we ever got from Jesus. That gift that helps us. That gift that empowers us. You know, also, the Holy Spirit does something else for us. When we do those things that we know are not right, who makes us feel guilty? Who pricks our conscience to make us say, Lord, forgive me? It's the Holy Spirit. So you've got within you God's power. And you've got a great high priest to help you. So when those difficult times come along, don't struggle. Turn them over to God. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Let him be the one who guides you and takes you where you need to go. We're going to have an invitation in just a moment. I'll be here. If you'd like to come have a word of prayer with me, be glad to do that. If you've got questions about this message or how God could work in your life or who Jesus is, I'd be glad to help answer those questions as well. But let's pray together as we finish. Most gracious God, it's a privilege and an honor to just be able to open up the Word of God, to be able to proclaim it and to teach it. And I pray, Father, now that the Holy Spirit will take what we've said here today and go out and touch our hearts and our minds, that he'll touch us and guide us, that he'll empower us and use us. Father, we thank you that we have a great high priest who understands us and who loved us so much, he gave us his gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that indwells us as believers. Holy Spirit, may you guide us and direct us. May you always lift us up. Give us encouragement when we need it, hope when we have no hope, and give us the power to be overcomers. It's in Christ's name.